Okay, good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming. I heard some of you had a late night last night with the Siyum HaShas. So did I, and I'm very excited to talk about the Siyum HaShas. I saw your husband there. I saw your husband. I saw a lot of people there. You saw your husband there also? I bumped into him? Yes. I saw your husband, yes. I went over to him. I said, oh, yeah, he was there. He was telling the truth. He went. That's where he was going. Yeah. Oh, okay. But I saw him before it started. So I saw a lot of people there. So I just want to talk about that. But first, let me just start with something else. Once again, Mrs. Leiter, thanks for inviting me. When you called me a couple of weeks ago and you told me Thursday, August 2nd, so right away I said, wow, that's the day after the Siyum HaShas. So from your reaction, it sounded like you had not realized that at the time. But but right away I knew that I would have enough what to talk about because I was planning on going. But so I just want to connect the two emotional events that we had this week. On Sunday, we had the day of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, of course, is really on Shabbos, but we acted the day of Tisha B'Av on Sunday. And then last night, Wednesday night, was the Siyum HaShas. And it would seem that these two events are really unrelated. They have really no connection to each other. But the truth is that they really are very connected. And I'm always told that the shir should be something to do with speech or davening or something like that, so I'm able to connect it to the sitter. And we say, when we daven Shmoneh Esrei, at the end of Shmoneh Esrei, after Shmoneh Esrei, we say Yehi Ratzon, that you're all familiar with. And the Yehi Ratzon asks to bring the Beis HaMikdash back b'mher b'yameinu. Yehi Ratzon b'fanach Hashem alakeinu v'alakei aviseinu, she'ebonu Beis HaMikdash b'mher b'yameinu, as you all know. And then we say, v'sein chalkeinu b'sayra secha, that you should give us, we ask Hashem, you should give us our portion in your Torah. And then we go back to the Beis HaMikdash. V'sham na'avodcha, and over there in the Beis HaMikdash, we should serve you, b'yira, in fear. So it's a whole three or four lines asking Hashem for the Beis HaMikdash, with just one phrase smack in the middle, v'sein chalkeinu b'sayra secha, to give us your portion in the Torah. And the question is, where did that come in? All of a sudden, they're just stuck in about the Torah in the middle of nowhere, about the Beis HaMikdash. Why is this stuck in the middle of a prayer for the Beis HaMikdash? So anytime someone has a question on the Siddur, so what do they say right away? Well, what does the art scroll say? So that's why I brought my art scroll Siddur with me. And the art scroll on the bottom, they bring up Pshat. They don't say who it's from, but the truth is it's from a pirush called the Eitz Yosef, which is in the Eitz Ratzvila Siddur. And the way the art scroll says it is that since the way we serve Hashem, the avodah that we have nowadays is the davening and learning of about the karbonos. Every time we learn Torah about the karbonos, we say ezmakayim, and we say the karbonos, and we learn about the karbonos. So that the Torah that we learn about the karbonos is as if we brought the karbonos, the sacrifices, in the Beis HaMikdash. So there is a connection because we want the Beis HaMikdash, and we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. So when we learn the Torah about the Beis HaMikdash, that is as if we brought the karbanos. Fine, a very nice explanation. But the Vilna Gaon says a different shot. The Vilna Gaon in Shir HaShirim says that the best understanding of the Torah we can have is only when we have the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, even the great Talmid HaChamim and the great Gedolim and the great Paiskim that we have, we just lost, just very recently, we lost Rabbi Yashiv, and you know, the great Paisik, the great knowledge in Torah that he had, and all the great Paiskim had, it's amazing, but it's not as amazing as it could have been if we would have the Beis HaMikdash. If we would have the Beis HaMikdash, the clarity in the Torah that we have, and even the great Paiskim, the great Gedolim that they have, is not as perfect as it could be if we would have the Beis HaMikdash. That is why, says the Vilna Gaon, that's why when we daven for the Beis HaMikdash, a result, a byproduct of getting back the Beis HaMikdash would be the ability to connect to the ultimate in the Torah. Only once we have the Beis HaMikdash, then we will be able to fully understand the Torah that we try to learn. And those of you who know the layout of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, when you enter into the Beis HaMikdash, you come into the Azara, into the courtyard, and in the Azara there's the big Mizbeach. The Mizbeach represents the Avodah, the sacrifices, the service to Hashem. As we said before, nowadays that's the davening. Ezu Avodah Shabalev, Haviyam Ezu Tefillah. That's the davening that we have nowadays. That's represented by the Mizbeach. As you go closer and more into, get more and more holy, you come into the Kodesh, which comes into the, you have the Shulchan, which represents parnasa, because that you have the lechem upon him, that's parnasa. Also, very, very important. Next, right next to it, you have the menorah, kiner mitzvah, that the menorah represents the mitzvahs, which is also very, very important, of course. But then when you get to the Kodesh Kodashim, then you get to the Aron HaKodesh. And as you go higher and higher, you get to the Aron HaKodesh. The Aron represents the Torah. The Luchais was kept in the Aron. The Aron always represents the Torah. So as we go higher and higher, we go very important steps, very great things. Avodah and Parnasa, which is necessary, and the mitzvos. But the ultimate, the peak, the pinnacle, the highest point, that is the Aron, and that is the that represents the Torah. Everything we do, every step of the way, is just to get to the highest level, which is the Torah, which is learning the Torah. Even if women do not have a mitzvah to learn the Torah, but when they learn the Torah, they are mekabel schar, and to connect and to go higher and higher to the Torah. And a person needs to be willing to grow. I've spoken about this Tuesday morning, I think it was before Tu B'Shvat, we spoke about it. A person needs to be willing to grow, to want to grow. Some people are just happy with, you know, the status quo, but my Rosh Hashiva, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, in the Mir, he used to give shmuzin Friday afternoon, and for 3 years, when I was there as a bacha, I was in the Mir for 8 years, but when I was there 3 years before I was married, I used to go to his shmuzin Friday afternoon, and I had a makam kavua right next to him, on his right, and as you know, he had uncontrollable Parkinson's, and his knees would shake and his knees would bang against my knees. That's why I couldn't miss. I could still feel his knees banging against my knees. I sat right over here, and another person who actually lives in Passaic had a makom kavua on his left side, and his knees would bang back and forth from my knees to this other person's knees. And he would always say that a person is always moving. He's either going up, 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 or down, down, down. A person is never status quo. And if we're not working on ourselves to become closer to the Torah, then automatically a person is just going down. You think you just go through life, and yes, we're busy with many other things, with the family, with the children, and with parnasa, and doing other things, but if a person is not working on their ruchnius, that a person will just end up going down. And a person needs to be working to go higher and higher. And, you know, my next-door neighbor's gardener was by my next door neighbor's house, and my wife, she was very curious if he heard about the Sima Shas on the radio. He's a Spanish guy, shouldn't say too loud over here, but he's a nice man, he always says hello, how are you doing? But my wife, you know, was curious if he heard about the Sima Shas on the radio. He did not hear about it. He speaks English, but he didn't know anything about it. So my wife tried to explain to him, it's gonna be 90,000 people, and we're gonna get together in MetLife Stadium, that he heard of. And so he said, oh, is he gonna have a party? So my wife's like, no, it's not a party. She's like, oh, you're gonna pray? I was like, yeah, something like that. We're going to pray. Like, he's a nice man, but he has no shaykhs to the Torah and growing to the Torah. When 90,000 people get together, what else are you gonna be doing? You're gonna be partying, you're having a good time. But that's not what we're focusing on. We, as Yidden, and anyone who was at the Siyam HaShas, like I was talking to you before, it was just one maimed of Kavod HaTorah. Everyone there to celebrate the Torah. In a way, it was a party. I mean, if you saw people dancing, holding hands next to each other to strangers, I was holding my brother-in-law's hand on my left and some kid on the right, and just the place was rocking. It was MetLife Stadium. I mean, but we were rocking for the Torah. It was a celebration for the Torah, just for the Kavod HaTorah, and celebrating people growing in Torah day after day. You know, one thing that hit me, I came early, avoided the traffic also, but I came early, and they had these stands, and people were, you know, they're selling food. Of course, it was all kosher food, but those lined up of Schwarzes just standing there by the checkout counters, waiting for people to buy hot dogs and knishes and sodas, you know, all the kosher food that they were selling, and there was nobody there. There was nobody buying anything. And I wanted to go over to them and tell them, like, we're not here for the gashmias. You have, like, we don't care about it. And if we're hungry, yes, it took 4 or 5 hours, and yes, people got hungry, so they had to buy food. But that's not what we were here for. We're not here for the food. We're here just to eat up the Torah. That's where our spiritual nourishment. The Mishnah Berurah even says, the Chafetz Chaim, in his introduction to Mishnah Berurah, he says, the same way the guf, the body, needs nourishment, so too the soul needs nourishment. And everyone was just nourished by the Torah. The speeches were amazing, the videos were amazing. My brother-in-law, Hananya Kramer, he made the videos, and anyone who noticed, it was my father's voice on the videos, he was the narrator. It was, now you recognize it, now you recognize the voice. Anyone who wants to go, you can go on, just Google Siyam HaShas, Kol Ram, you can watch all the videos at least, and I'm sure you could watch the Siyam HaShas itself. But it was just one big celebration of Torah to get closer to the Torah. And this was for women just as much as men. I wanted to say it today, but some of the speakers said it last night. I know Rav Gedalia Weinberger said it. He's the chairman of the Daf Yomi Commission, and one of the other Balabatim said it, and one of the Magid Yeshurim said it in Yiddish. He said that the women deserve credit for the Siyam HaShas just as much as the men. They send out their husbands to learn, even if your husbands or your children, you know, don't do Daf Yomi. But you send your husband out to learn with the Chavrusa, and then you have to do homework with the kids by yourself, or you have to put the kids to bed by yourself, or do bedtime, or, you know, your husband leaves early in the morning, and then by the time he comes home at night, you want to just get a chance to spend some time to schmooze with him, but you let him go out to a chavrusa, whether it's tafiemi, whether it's not tafiemi, to a chavrusa, to a shir. The women get just as much schar as for men. And I remember my sister-in-law one time spoke to one gadol, I forgot who, and he said that the women get schar even more than the men. Because let's say the man, you know, chas v'shalom, of course, nobody here does that, no one's husband, let's say they schmooze, or they take a break for too long, then they don't get schar for that. But the women, they get schar for that as well. Because they're sacrificing just as much. If they sacrifice for an hour to send their husband out, they get schar for the full hour. And if the husband slacks off and he only learns for 50 minutes, so he gets only schar for 50 minutes. But the women, they get schar for the whole hour. And that is something that women connect to just as much as men. Women were invited to the Siyam HaShas. My wife went, my mother went, of course my sister went because my brother-in-law made the videos. And the women were there. I shouldn't say this on recorded, but I noticed by the music that the women were bopping and they were dancing, and it was just like they couldn't control themselves. They were just so excited for the Kavod HaTorah and for the love of the Torah that it was expressing. The Birchas HaTorah in the morning, we're not giving a shiur on halacha Birchas HaTorah, but the Shulchan Aruch says that women are obligated to say Birchas HaTorah every morning. The Vilna Gaon argues, and he says that no, they're not obligated to, they just can volunteer to say Birchas HaTorah if they want. But the Shulchan Aruch and many others, they understand the women are obligated to say Birchas HaTorah. And even if the women do not have time to say the whole Shemona Esrei, even though the Mishnah Berurah paskins that women are obligated to say to daven Shachris and Mincha, but if a woman is not able to because she's busy with her children, her family, or with work, so then we have what to rely on, to rely on the Rambam, not for now. But Birchas HaTorah, how long does Birchas HaTorah take to say? 2 or 3 minutes, come on. You know, that enough, that we have enough time to say. And that women could connect to as well. Lasek B'divei Sarah, they are able to connect to the Torah by rushing out to do carpool, to send your sons to go learn Torah. That is included in Lasek B'divei Sarah. So says the Chavos Yair, who lived hundreds of years ago. And that is something for women just as much as men. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin, says, Noshim B'mai Kazachin. Well, how do women, where do they get their schos? They don't necessarily sit and learn Torah, unless you come to Shiurim in a pizza shop on Thursday mornings and you come to Shiurim, or that you come throughout the week. I always notice that in Pesach, whether it's myself or other people, that there's so many Shiurim given. It's just so beautiful for women to come and to grow in Torah, whether, I know it's in your house or in Mrs. Schwartz or Mrs. Golombek and all different places that there's Shiurim, Mrs. Goldschmidt, Mrs. Stein, there's so many places to connect and to come to Shiurim, and women have the opportunity themselves to go learn Torah. But besides that, the Gemara says that Noshim B'mai Kazachin, when they send, how do they get the schus? When they send their children and their husbands to go learn, and they wait, they want their husbands to be home, but they send their husbands out to places to learn with the Chavrusa Rashir, that is how they're able to connect and grow in this world and in Olam Haba. A couple of weeks ago, I needed to be out of town, that's why I was away. And I needed to be out of town, and I was in an out-of-town community. Some people say Passaic is an out-of-town place. This place was, by all means, hands down, this place was for sure an out-of-town place. And I stayed, my wife and I stayed by the rabbi's house. They were very nice, very hospitable, very nice people. And I was schmoozing with the rabbi over there. We had supper by them one night. And I asked him, what's the goal? What's his goal in his community, his out-of-town community? What's his goal for his people? Because I like asking that question. Another person, another out-of-town place, I asked the rabbi, he said his goal is to kick his people out of the neighborhood and to move them, to get them out of there, to, you know, to Brooklyn or to Muncie or to more mainstream, to get them to wear black hats or to get the women to be part of the mainstream. You know, that was his goal. I asked this rabbi, what's his goal? He says he has no specific goal. He just wants the people to grow. Just to grow, to see what it means to be a Yid, to see what it means to lead a Jewish life, just to lead a good example, just to grow, to appreciate the Torah, to appreciate what it means to be a Yid, and just to grow. to grow and grow and grow. Small Kabbalahs, small things, but just not to just go with the flow. I've spoken about this in a number of places already. Not to just simply go along with the flow. To go and work on yourself. You don't have to be intense. No one likes the word intense in a Chas V'Shalom, but you don't have to be intense. But just to be able to be cognizant of our spiritual being, and not just with the guf, but to grow in Torah. You know, when I had, I was in that out-of-town place, I needed to be there for a few days, so my wife and I, we had one day off, and we were able to walk around town a little bit over there, and we were walking around, and a guy passes me, and it was pretty obvious that I was a Jew. I wasn't wearing my hat and jacket, of course, but I wasn't wearing a tie, but I was just walking around with my wife, and this guy passes me, and he says, "Go west, young man." And my wife and I were like he was for sure talking to me. And like, what did he mean by that? What, go west, young man? Like, we were on the west coast, so maybe he was telling me like to jump in the Pacific Ocean, you know, like, I don't know. So we were passing a store called Nine West at the time, and my wife said, maybe he's telling us to go into Nine West. So I said, I think that's, you know, you're just looking for an excuse to go into the Nine West store. But Nine West is a shoe store, right? So I always tell my wife that she has too many shoes, and she always tells me that I have too many svarim. So maybe we're both wrong, but that wasn't what he was telling us. So I don't know what he meant. But the Baal Shem Tov says, the Heligal Baal Shem Tov, he always was known to say that everything that happens in life, you have to take a lesson from, and you have to learn from. And it happens for a reason. And perhaps, definitely this is not what this guy meant, but maybe Hashem was telling us that we have to try to go west. What does that mean? We were talking about before in the Azara, in the Beis HaMikdash. When you come into the Azara and you go towards the Kodesh and then towards the Kodesh Kedoshim, which direction are you going? You're going west, right? The Kaisel Maravi, which is in the west, that wall was behind the Aron HaKodesh. And when you're going traveling towards higher to the Kodesh and to the Kodesh Kedoshim, you're going west. A lot of people would guess, you think, oh, you're going Mizrach, you're going east, or you're going north. You're not. You would be going west. And maybe what Hashem was telling me was that you have to go west, and you have to go, you have to grow. You have to go with the Avodah, the Derech Drush, you have to go with the Avodah, and then you go to the Parnosa, and higher to the mitzvahs, to go to the Torah, to be able to go higher and higher, to be willing to go higher and higher. Just to end with one final thought, we also in the Siddur, you know, we say in Yigdal, those of us who say Yigdal in the morning, Yigdal is a beautiful song. It's 13 lines, and some of you may know that the 13 lines in Yigdal correspond to the 13 animamins. I see you're nodding your head, I see you know that. That the 13 animamins, that is based on the Rambam, the Yud Gimel Ikram, the 13 principles of faith that we all know of. The Yigdal, if you take a sitter, you'll notice that line number one of Yigdal is corresponding to the first animamin, line number two of Yigdal is corresponding to the next animamin. So one of the second to last of Yigdal, the second to last line, is Yishlach l'keitz hayomin mishichenu, send to us our Mashiach, l'fteis mechake keitz yishuasai. L'fteis mechake, to redeem those who are waiting, keitz yishuasai, for the redemption, the end of your salvation. Now, the implications are scary, that we're asking Hashem to take us out, to redeem who? Those who wait for Mashiach. So it's mashma, it implies that the only people that will be redeemed are those that are waiting for Mashiach. Those of us who are not waiting for Mashiach are not going to be redeemed. The Gemara in Titus, Daf Lamed, says, "Kol mesaba al Yerushalayim, zoicha v'roya v'simchasi." Anyone who mourns for Yerushalayim will see the Yeshua. But kol ha'ena mesaba al Yerushalayim, anyone who is not, does not mourn for Yerushalayim, ena roya v'simchasi, will not see the simcha. A lot of people forget the second half. And that's a famous Gemara, but if a person doesn't yearn for the Beis HaMikdash, then they will not see the Yeshua, they will not be redeemed in the end of time. And the 12th animamin is by far the most famous animamin, because it's a famous song, that's what makes things famous, if it's a nice song. And we know, animamin munu shlema b'vias ha-mashiach, the afa pi sheyisma mea, even though he delays, im kol ze achakalo. Even so, I will wait for him. Why is that part of the 13 Yugimalikram? One of the Yugimalikram is to believe that we're going to get Mashiach. But why part of it is that, and even though he delays, I'm going to wait for him, I wait for him? That is part of the Yugimalikram. And that, my other Rosh Hashiva, I've only been in two yeshivas in my life, Shara Torah in Queens, and the Meir in Yerushalayim. So my other Rosh Hashiva, Rav Zelig Epstein, used to always say that it's very hard, one of the hardest mitzvahs that we have nowadays is to yearn for the Geula, because it's so hard to connect to it. We spoke about this on Shabbat Batamas, those of us, those of you who were there, it's so hard to connect and to the Beis HaMikdash, to really yearn for the Beis HaMikdash. And Rav Zelig used to say to his Talmidim, that the way to do that is to follow the halachos of the 9 days and the 3 weeks, and that's how we're able to connect, by following the halachos. Yes, we would want to take showers, yes, we would want to do the laundry, etc., etc., we would want to go swimming, but we connect to the churban habayis by refraining from the halachos that we need to refrain from. But we need to keep in mind that's one of the lessons that the Beis HaMikdash teaches us, that we need to be able to grow, to want to grow, and to let us grow. And last night in the Siyum HaShas, that's something that was very, very visible, that everyone was there because they wanted to grow. They wanted to grow in the Torah, whether it was for themselves, whether they accepted upon themselves to start Daf Yomi, whether or not, whether they felt, well, it was just in general, to be Makabal Torah in general, and the women could have a Kabbalah Satayra as well, that they're going to be easier on their husbands to go out to a shir, easier on their sons to be able to stay out late in the Beis Midrash, or on themselves to push themselves to go to shirim, to go to more and more shirim. And that is something that we see from the Beis HaMikdash, and what is related to it, to the beautiful, beautiful Kiddush Hashem that was last night in the Siyum HaShas. And Bezuz Hashem, through this, we passed another Tisha B'Av, but hopefully Bezuz Hashem, when we all take this lesson and we spread this lesson, we'll be able to bring the Beis HaMikdash back to us, and by the time next Tisha B'Av comes, we'll be back in Yerushalayim, as was mentioned last night a number of times, that the next Siyum HaShas, Mitzvah Hashem, in 7.5 years, should be in Yerushalayim, in Harbin.